It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It is your old buddy, Luke Clayton, and it is time for us to talk about the outdoors for the next 15 minutes. We're going to do a little scattergunning today and check in with some guides and fishermen around the area and find out what the bass and the catfish and the crappie are doing. Now, the first segment of this show is underwritten by Young's Wilderness Camp up in Ontario, Canada, up on Lake of the Woods. The website up there is youngswildernesscamp.com. The phone number is 866-894-0674. Now, what do you say we head up to Lake Fork and talk bass fishing with longtime buddy of mine, guide Larry Large? Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Luke.
You know, it's the dog days of summer. I bet we all know that. But you're still catching some bass down at Fork, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Bass fishing, you know, like you said, is usually pretty tough this time of year. Mainly due to the heat, you can't get out there where they are. The fish are kind of lethargic. They don't really want to play other than early in the morning or late at night.
Let's say it's early morning and you've got your boat launched and you're going to head out to catch some bass. What's the first pattern at first light that you'll start, Larry?
First thing I do, Luke, is I go straight to main lake points. I need to have these fish having access to deep water. And by deep water, I mean 30 foot. The thermocline's down about 26, 27 foot. Those fish are going to come up early in the morning on those main lake points. They use them like a freeway off ramp. They go to the nearest tree lines. They surround those shad. They feed. They go right back down that main lake point and stay out there in that deep water during the day.
As far as favorite baits right now for that first, we'll say the first hour and a half of daylight.
If the fish are schooling, you can throw tail kickers, anything that moves on the surface, small crankbaits or whatever. But by and large, you're going to catch 90% of your fish, if they're not schooling, on a drop shot rig.
Now, Larry, that's an interesting bait, a way to rig baits. And I'd like you to describe it in detail because a lot of people, it's new to a lot of folks, but a lot of people have caught on to it. What is a drop shot and how do you rig it up?
Well, the first thing that most people think of on Lake Fork is 20-pound test line or heavier. I use 10 to 12-pound test line on a spinning rod. I tie a sinker to my line, a small sinker. It doesn't have to be very heavy, something you can pitch real easy. Then I come up about 2 feet. I tie a small loop in the line, put the hook through the loop, tie it directly to that loop. No leader, no nothing. There's two ways to rig the worm. You can either rig it Texas style. The most productive way to rig it is wacky style. You pitch it out near that stump, let that sinker hit the bottom, sit there and just barely shake that rod tip. That worm goes ballistic. Try not to move that sinker if you don't have to. When you miss or don't get a bite on that stump, pick it up, pitch it to another stump, and just repeat the process. And it makes those fish eat, whether they want to or not. They just cannot stand that worm sitting there dancing in front of their face.
You know, Larry, when you think about it, I fish Texas rig worms. That's probably, I've probably caught 75% of the bass I've ever caught on a Texas rig worm. Now, if you think about it, say you're targeting a piece of buck brush or an isolated stump or something with a Texas rig worm. Well, nobody's ever really had to tell me that, you know, I'm thinking if there's a bass down there, I'm going to try to keep that bait in the strike zone. Well, you throw past it, you work that worm up there, and you can only twitch it so much, twitch that rod tip to make it appealing to the bass holding tight to structure. But pretty soon you've cranked the bait away from the structure that the bass is on.
You're exactly right.
Right? And then with your drop shot rig, you don't reel it away. You're just twitching that rod tip, and the worm stays in the strike zone, right?
It stays right alongside that stump. And, you know, it takes a little more time to fish each stump. Mm-hmm. But, like you said, the bait is in the strike zone the minute it hits the water till the minute you pitch it to another stump. It just stays there.
That is, I don't know who comes up with these different patterns, you'd think. Well, when the Texas rig worm, when I first discovered it, I thought, man, this is all I ever need when I'm bass fishing. And then the Carolina rig, and to be frank with you, I never, I know what, you know, I fish Carolina rigs, I know what they're for, the purpose they serve, but That's deep fishing, and it's I've always had trouble detecting a strike. Maybe if I did more of it with a Carolina rig, I'd get the hang of it. But, you know, you're fishing deep a lot of times, Larry, on a Carolina rig. That bass will suck it in, and you got to know what you're feeling for, don't you?
You definitely do. The good thing about a Carolina rig, Luke, as far as feeling, is usually the fish feels no resistance, no weight, no nothing. He will usually hold on to the bait long enough so that when you go to move it, that's when you detect your strike. A lot of people pull it up, think it's brush or whatever. Mm-hmm. If there's any doubt, set the hook. Jerks are free.
Exactly, yeah. Well, that's what I've learned, and I fish Carolina rigs, but not enough to get really good at it. And but I do know that that's a lethal way of rigging up. You know, Larry, I am looking forward to getting up in the high country with you in the end of this month, actually, up in north of Steamboat Springs, Colorado, and getting up there with the bows and getting after those elk. You were there on the private ranch that you've got leased up there, Larry. You were there 3 weeks ago, and if people didn't know the number of elk in that country, it'd almost sound bogus. But
well,
you've glassed 22 bulls on that elk mountain at one time, right?
Yes, I did, Luke. I am amazed. I've been hunting the ranch now for almost 10 years, and I thought I knew every elk on that piece of property. Well, all the elk that I knew, for some reason, found a buddy and brought him there this year.
Yeah.
I have just seen, I would say, almost twice as many elk as I've ever seen on this ranch before. I am so looking forward to it. It is going to be a fantastic season this year. At one time, I seen those 22 bulls up there, four of them were well over 300. And that is unusual to see that many big bulls at one time on our mountain.
You bet. You know, well, last year I hunted with you, Larry, of course. We know this, but I want our listeners to know it too. And actually guided a couple of guys last year. But we would spot, I think one time we saw five bulls from our cabin with a spotting scope up on, we call it Sleeping Giant Mountain. The actual name of it is Elk Mountain. And that was phenomenal, and a bunch of cows. And what impressed me about that type of elk hunting is people read so much about elk hunting, Larry, that you know, they think you're going to have to be a triathlon runner to go elk hunting. And in some cases, in some ways of hunting, that's kind of true. But up there, the stands are double ladder stands, ground blinds, folks. I mean, we'll be hunting over wallows and some really good intersections of trails. And it's just a matter of being there, Larry. I mean, I don't think it could get any easier elk hunting, do you?
This is the easiest elk hunt anybody will ever go on. We do not need to walk up steep mountains, walk through brush. We set in stands. These elk have to come to water. We have the only water on this entire mountain is on our property. They come down every morning. They come down every evening. We have got trails that are 2 foot wide and 2 foot deep that they use. If you can walk 100 yards on flat ground, you can elk hunt in this country. Now, if you can't walk that far, we use an electric buggy that will carry you to your stand. You can get out and get in a ground blind and still be just as successful as these guys, these triathlons that you're talking about, walking through the woods. Yeah. It is a lot easier for that big-lunged, four-legged animal to come to you than it is for you to go to him.
No doubt about it, Larry. I've been on the other type hunts, and you've lived half a lifetime hunting the other way too, but and I'm not knocking it. It's okay, but you know, there's so many questions about a guy from Texas, especially that's never been to the mountains hunting elk. Like, how? Okay, say I shoot one with a bow. Everybody that bow hunts knows that an animal might have to be trailed a little short distance, or he might have to be trailed a long distance. How do you get him off the mountain? That's easy with a winch, isn't it, Larry?
Yeah, I have, you know, like you said, I've done this for 40 years. I have got a winch on my pickup. I've got 250 feet of 3/16 cable. I put a harness on the elk. The winch is portable. I can go from tree to tree to tree to tree. There is no lifting, no carrying, no quartering, no nothing. We drag the elk to the pickup. I put the winch back in the pickup, slide it up my ramps, put it in the back of the pickup. All you got to do is walk alongside the elk and hold the horns up, and I will take care of the rest. I'm not a very big fella, and I can drag a 1,000-pound elk all the way to the pickup and load it by myself.
That winch does wonders, Larry. I tell you, that's and the food up there, Billy Kilpatrick is our head chief cook, and I tell you, I'm looking very much forward to it. Getting some material, you know, for some magazine articles and newspaper stories, Larry. Let's do this. Let's let you leave your phone number for people that want to talk about catching bass or learn more about bass, or if they want to pick your brain and learn about elk hunting. How do they reach Larry Large up there?
The easiest way is 903-765-3176. And if you call after 6, I'll be here in the house. And if you need to call me during the day, it's 970-819-3464. And I'll answer the cell phone the minute it rings.
Well, thank you, Larry. We'll you know, you're a guest maybe once a month or something, but you've got a lot of good info for us. We'll get you back soon. How about it?
Sounds good, Luke. Maybe we can talk some duck hunting or hog hunting.
You know, Lake Fork is not only just well-known for black bass, it's an awesome channel catfish lake. You might remember reading a column that I wrote a couple of weeks ago for the Greenville Herald Banner and a bunch of other newspapers across the state on catfish guide Seth Vanover and the big channel cat, the big numbers of channel cat we caught. Well, I talked to Seth just before today's show, a couple hours ago, and Seth tells me right now the pattern has not changed. In other words, if you concentrate on steep ledges, try to fish the deeper part of the ledges, water about 28, 29 feet deep, keep the baits close to bottom, you'll still catch a lot of catfish. Try to fish around timbered areas, around the edge of big trees. That is a good structure for attracting channel catfish. So there's a tip for you. Seth is a big proponent of using liver, but any good punch bait, smelly cheese bait that'll stay on your hook will catch catfish down there. Now, over at Lake Levan, I call Billy Kilpatrick. Billy's been our guest many times. He guides for crappie at Lake Levan. He's still catching a bunch of crappie. He said the bite is extremely soft, though. They're not jerking the rod real hard, but he's using live minnows, and he's catching them anywhere from 15 to 22 foot deep around man-made brush piles. And he also tips that if you get around most of those lower to mid-lake points, run your sonar, most of them you will be able to find some deep brush. And you know the reason the deep brush piles are so productive, they attract bait fish, minnows, and the crappie come in there to feed. So you want to be real quiet when you're approaching these things. Use the trolling motor. Or if you're around timber, he says they're also catching some crappie around standing boat arc trees, water about the same depth. Tie up to them, but be real careful when you ease up there with your boat. Don't bump into the tree and spook the fish. Crappie, as are channel catfish, really spooky fish. So that's a tip for you that might help you put some crappie fillets in the ice cooler. Almost out of time for today's show. I want to remind you that you can go online to catfishradio.com, and there you can hear Larry Wysoon and I. Larry has a segment with me each week called Campfire Talk with Larry Wysoon, but a lot of good hunting and fishing talk there as well, and it's archived each week at catfishradio.com. Folks, the second portion, actually our entire show today, was underwritten by Young's Wilderness Camp up in Ontario, Canada, on Lake of the Woods. The website is youngswildernesscamp.com, and the toll-free number up there is 866-894-0674. Folks, I don't need to tell you that it's hot out there. Drink plenty of water and stay in the shade as much as you can. Maybe even consider getting an umbrella for your boat if you're going to be fishing during midday. And remember, if you missed anything in this show, you can go online to ketr.org. That's our website. And at the top is local programs and outdoors. You can catch anything that you might have missed. Till this time next week, be safe.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.